Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, A Brief History of Black Holes, and Why Nearly Everything You Know About Them Is Wrong by Becky Smethurst, is a popular science book about one of astrophysics' most misunderstood. Subjects: Smethurst, an astrophysicist and science communicator whose research concerns galaxies and their central supermassive black holes, presents black holes through both scientific history and modern observation. The book explains how ideas about collapsed stars, gravity, light, event horizons, and galactic centers developed into the contemporary picture of black holes. Its purpose is not only to introduce the physics, but also to correct persistent misconceptions created by simplified diagrams, science fiction, and dramatic popular language. Smethurst writes for general readers rather than specialists, using accessible explanations to connect stellar evolution, relativity, radiation, accretion, and astronomical imaging. The result is a concise account of what black holes are, how scientists know they exist, why they matter to galaxies, and why many familiar assumptions about them are misleading. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, black holes is the history of changing scientific evidence. Smethurst treats black holes not as isolated curiosities, but as the result of a long sequence of scientific shifts. The book traces how the idea moved from early speculation about objects whose gravity could trap light, through Einsteinian gravity, to the recognition that massive stars can collapse into extremely compact remnants. This historical framing matters because black holes were not immediately accepted as ordinary astronomical objects. For much of modern physics, they were mathematical possibilities, inferred from equations before direct observational confirmation became available. Smethurst uses that progression to show how science often advances indirectly by testing whether a theory can explain otherwise puzzling evidence. The concept of a black hole becomes more convincing when it connects multiple observations, such as stellar motion near galactic centers, energetic emissions from matter falling inward, gravitational waves from mergers, and horizon-scale imaging. The book, therefore, emphasizes that scientific knowledge is cumulative and provisional. It is not a list of finished facts, but a process in which theory, instrumentation, and observation continually revise one another. This approach gives readers a clearer sense of why black holes were difficult to understand and why confidence in their existence strengthened over time. Secondly, why black holes are not cosmic vacuum cleaners. One of the book's central aims is to correct the popular image of black holes as monsters that indiscriminately suck in everything nearby. Smethurst explains that a black hole obeys gravity in the same basic way as any other object with mass. If the sun were replaced by a black hole of the same mass, the planets would not instantly spiral inward, simply because the central object had become a black hole. The danger lies in extreme closeness, where gravity becomes intense and tidal effects can become severe, not in some universal suction force. This distinction is important because it separates black holes from fantasy objects and places them within ordinary gravitational physics. Matter can orbit the black hole, miss it entirely, or fall in only if its trajectory and energy conditions allow it. Accretion disks form because gas loses energy and angular momentum, not because the black hole reaches out like a vacuum. By replacing the suction metaphor with orbital mechanics, Smethurst makes black holes less sensational but more scientifically interesting. Their power comes from the compactness of mass and the behavior of spacetime near the event horizon, not from a unique force that violates normal celestial dynamics. Thirdly, stellar collapse and the physical origin of ordinary black holes. The book explains black hole formation by connecting it to the life cycle of stars. Massive stars survive for millions of years because outward pressure from nuclear fusion balances inward gravity. When the fuel that supports fusion is exhausted, that balance fails. Depending on the star's mass and internal structure, the remnant may become a white dwarf, a neutron star, or, if gravity overwhelms the remaining pressure supports, a black hole. Smethurst presents this sequence as a physical mechanism rather than a mysterious disappearance. A black hole is not a hole in empty space, but the outcome of matter compressed so densely that an event horizon forms around it. The discussion also clarifies why not every star becomes a black hole. The mass of the original star, the material it sheds, and the limits of pressure support all determine the final remnant. This helps readers understand black holes as part of stellar ecology rather than rare anomalies detached from ordinary astrophysics and compact remnants in accessible terms. The book shows that black holes arise from the same laws governing stars throughout the universe. Their strangeness comes from where those laws lead under extreme conditions. Fourthly, supermassive black holes and their connection to galaxy evolution. Smethurst gives particular attention to supermassive black holes, the enormous objects found at the centers of many galaxies. This focus reflects her research interest in how galaxies and their central black holes grow together. The book distinguishes these objects from stellar mass black holes formed by individual collapsing stars. Supermassive black holes can contain millions or billions of solar masses, which raises a central scientific problem: how did they grow so large, especially in the early universe? Smethurst introduces the idea that black holes grow by accreting gas, consuming stars under special conditions, and merging with other black holes. While also acknowledging that growth pathways remain an active research question, their importance is not limited to size. When matter falls toward a supermassive black hole, it can release enormous energy before crossing the event horizon, producing active galactic nuclei and influencing surrounding gas. This feedback can affect star formation and the evolution of the host galaxy. The book therefore presents black holes as participants in cosmic structure, not merely endpoints of collapse. Their presence at galactic centers links small-scale relativistic physics with the large-scale history of galaxies, making them essential to modern astrophysics. Lastly, observing the unseeable through light, motion, and gravitational waves. A recurring theme in the book is that black holes are studied through their effects, rather than by direct inspection of their interiors. Since light cannot escape from inside the event horizon, evidence must come from the surrounding environment and from spacetime itself. Smethurst explains how astronomers infer black holes by watching stars orbit invisible massive objects, detecting high-energy radiation from heated accretion disks, measuring gravitational waves from black hole mergers, and interpreting images made by the Event Horizon Telescope. The famous horizon scale images do not show the inside of a black hole, but the glowing material and shadow shaped by gravity near it. This distinction is central to the book's effort to refine common understanding. The observational story also demonstrates why black hole science depends on technological collaboration. Radio telescopes spread across the Earth, detectors sensitive to tiny distortions in spacetime, and long-term measurements of stellar orbits all contribute different evidence. Smethurst uses these methods to show that black holes are not accepted because they are visually obvious, but because independent lines of observation converge. The result is a practical lesson in how scientists study objects that cannot be approached, touched, or conventionally photographed. In conclusion, A Brief History of Black Holes is best suited to general readers who are curious about astronomy, but do not want a highly mathematical treatment of relativity or astrophysics. It will also appeal to readers who enjoy science communication that corrects familiar misconceptions while preserving the real complexity of the subject. The practical benefit of the book is conceptual clarity. Readers come away with better tools for understanding news about gravitational waves, telescope images, galactic centers, and claims about cosmic extremes. Its intellectual value lies in showing how black holes connect several branches of science: stellar evolution, general relativity, observational astronomy, and galaxy formation. Compared with many popular books on the subject, Smethurst's account stands out for its explicit myth-correcting structure and for linking black holes to current research on galaxies rather than treating them only as exotic endpoints or science fiction fuel. It is shorter and more accessible than technical astrophysics text, but more precise than many broad space surveys. The book's distinctive strength is its balance of historical development, physical explanation, and observational evidence. It does not ask readers merely to be impressed by black holes. It asks them to replace dramatic but inaccurate mental pictures with a more accurate understanding of why these objects are scientifically important. If you would like to support Becky Smethurst, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.